Hey, friends, we've got Nathan Jones of Lamb and Lion Ministries with us today. And I have a question for you before we bring him on. What will the coming millennial kingdom look like? Now, I want to share a few scriptures here. Daniel 2, 44 and 45 says, "The God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Then in Psalm 22, it says, "For the kingdom is the Lord's, and He rules over the nations." And who can forget around Christmas time when we hear about Jesus Christ, the Son, the government will be on His shoulders. What will that look like? And in Isaiah chapter 9, "Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward and forever." Nathan Jones, coming up next.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, I have it in hand, and you can get your copy. We'll tell you how in just a minute. The coming millennial kingdom. Let's bring in Nathan Jones with Lamb and Lion Ministries. Brother, so good to see you again. Thanks for your time, and congrats on the new book.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Oh, brother, it was so nice to be able to take my doctoral dissertation, and Harvest House helped me bring it down to a level that people could relate to, and they've been a great blessing to us. So book comes out June 3rd, and I just so appreciate you reading it ahead of time. Folks, one of the leading endorsements on the book is David's right up front. So, brother, thank you so much for the time you put into reading it and recommending it. I appreciate it.
No problem. No problem. A hearty endorsement, friends. It is amazing. So before we get into the book, Nathan, and we could spend two podcasts or more on the content, it is so encouraging. And it is the truth. It is Bible. It is the truth. It's what's coming. So we, with all the heaviness and the chaos and the garbage that's going on in the world today, we can have a really bright hope to look forward to. Before we get into all that, Nathan, Lamb and Lion Ministries, 45 years. We didn't talk about that the last time you were on with us. Just share a little bit about what that feels like to have, be a part of a ministry that's just been around and just has done some amazing work for the kingdom of God for so long.
Well, I was only 7 years old when Dr. David Reagan founded it, so I can't tell you what the full 45 years have been like, but I can tell you what the last 18 years have been like. And let me just say, working for Dr. Reagan and ministering alongside him, I believe that he is one of the greatest preachers of our time. And just to be able to learn Bible prophecy from him, to learn the gospel and how to share it, to be on Christ in Prophecy television has been a great blessing. He stepped back 4 years ago, and now Tim Moore's our new director, and he and I continue the program. I just love partnering with him. We also have a radio program that's also called Christ in Prophecy Radio on 850 stations. And of course, folks can find us on our website up there at lamblion.com or christinprophecy.org. Brother, we're going to keep on proclaiming the soon return of Jesus Christ all the way to the rapture.
Amen, brother. Amen. So I didn't give Nathan's website, NathanEJones.com, NathanEJones.com, and of course, ChristInProphecy.org. You can get the free e-newsletter. You sign up for that. And the coming millennial kingdom, it's over on Amazon. And is that the best place that people can get it, Nathan?
Well, it's actually what Harvest House hopes for. If we can get 2,500 pre-orders before June 3rd, I learned that it kicks a book, it makes it viral on the secular book lists. And then the book, the gospel message, the message of Christ's kingdom, gets in front of the secular audience. And that's where we really want people to get the gospel and to be saved so they too can be part of that coming kingdom.
Praise God. So I'm glad we can get the pre-orders going here, friends. So again, check that out on Amazon, The Coming Millennial Kingdom. So brother, you started out talking by the eight great empires of the world and what they all have in common. Just walk us through this. Let's start there.
Okay. Well, I was curious, you know, what are the most human life-changing empires? Certainly there's been many, but World Atlas said, excuse me, the Akkadian, the Persian, the Roman, the Mongol, the Ottoman, the British, the Russo-Soviet in the United States. We're considered one of the greatest kingdoms in history, and I believe we are. But what is interestingly that they all have in common is that they've all failed. And why have they failed? They failed for the primary reason the government exists. Our founding fathers said, true security and justice for its people. That's why government exists. That's why God ordained government. But unfortunately, humans are fallen and flawed and selfish, and as Doge has been showing us time and time again, horrifically corrupt. And so Micah 7:3, I think, describes failed, flawed human government the best. The prince asks for gifts, the judge seeks a bribe, and the great man utters his evil desire, and so they scheme together. What a terrible state that we're all finding ourselves under.
So I want to focus briefly on the scripture that most of us are very familiar with, the one I stated before we got on the show from Isaiah chapter 9. We hear it every Christmas. I don't think we dive deeply into it theologically enough in a lot of our churches, but and that is the one that I shared about the peace. It says, let's go back a little bit. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And in the news piece I received from Harvest House, just mind-boggling, it says, in 2025, this year, there are 37 countries at war on most every major continent. And in the last 3,500 years of human existence, 92% of the time there has been armed conflict. So I don't think a lot of people really grasp the meaning when you talk about Isaiah 9, when it talks about of the increase of his peace, there will be no end. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that? Because that is some good news.
Well, you'll find that most Christians think that Jesus will come back one day, we'll all go to heaven, and that's the end of the story. But the Bible has so many prophecies about a kingdom that Christ is coming. And David, it's all tied to 2 Samuel 7. We call it the Davidic covenant. It says, God says to King David, I will set up your seed after you, and I will establish the throne of his, the Messiah's kingdom, forever. And so Nathan spoke to David. Hey, we got another Nathan speaking to David here. But it's the promise that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would one day sit upon the Davidic throne, and he would rule and reign this in his kingdom forever. Now, that's tied into a promise that Jesus made. This is how the Bible ends. Not once, not twice, but three times, Jesus says, I am coming back, I am coming back, I am coming back. So that's an ironclad promise from God that he's coming back. Well, what is he coming back for? If the church is it, if, you know, as many amillennialists, as they're called, believe that we are in the kingdom age now, well, then is Jesus Christ ruling and reigning from the throne of David in Jerusalem? And are we the saints administrating his government for him? Are the Jewish people a priestly people that bring the Gentiles to know God? And then as we get into the millennial kingdom, you realize that, no, the church age isn't the final phase of Christ's kingdom. There's a Cotton Mather, a Puritan pastor, taught there was a providential, a spiritual, and what is church? The ecclesiastical. But the Davidic kingdom still remains, and that's what Christians are waiting for. There's going to be 1,000, as Revelation 20 teaches, 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth.
So let's jump around a little bit now. Some just fantastic chapters, friends, and you can go get a preview of those on Amazon, The Coming Millennial Kingdom and the Table of Contents. But, you know, the Jewish people returned to Israel after 1,900 years of being scattered around the earth, and that was miraculous. So we are very blessed in this generation to know what happened in 1948. But what has to happen prophetically before the Davidic kingdom can be instituted? I'm taking this question from chapter 4 of your book.
Well, absolutely. You know what? This May, we celebrated the 77th anniversary of Israel's return to the land. And you know that fulfills an ancient promise from 2,700 years ago? Isaiah 11 says this, it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again a second time to recover the remnant of his people. He will set up a banner, in other words, a flag of a nation for the nations, and will assemble or regather the outcasts of Israel, gather the dispersed of Judah from where? The four corners of the earth. Now, Jesus prophesied that that generation, that time period, the Greek is genia, that era that sees Israel come a nation again in fulfillment of Isaiah 11 and Ezekiel 36 and 37 would be that very generation that sees his return. So the return of Jesus Christ is tied to the fact that he's regathering the Jewish people back into their land, and they're going to go through a terrible trial, the whole world, called the tribulation. It's called specifically in Jeremiah 30, verse 7, the time of Jacob's trouble. And that's going to be a time where the Lord will pour out 21 judgments upon the earth, bring people to their knees. Millions of people will repent and turn to the Lord. But of course, this Antichrist, this one world ruler, will rise, and the world will be almost totally destroyed until the very end. And then Jesus Christ returns. 500 prophecies, 1 in 25 verses in the New Testament prophesy the return of Jesus Christ to set up his kingdom. So I quickly summarize there, David, but the Jewish people have to be regathered. We've got the rapture of the church, the tribulation time period, and then Jesus returns. So it's all tied to Israel becoming a nation again.
So the Jewish people regathered. What happens with the temple? What's going to be going on with that and temple worship?
During the tribulation time period, the Jewish people will have a covenant that will allow them to rebuild the temple. The Antichrist, 3.5 years into the tribulation, will go into it. He will desecrate it like Antiochus Epiphanes the Greek did, and he will declare himself to be God. His false prophet will put a false image that the world has to worship, and you have to take the mark of the Antichrist, his name or number on your right hand or forehead. And if you don't, you can't buy or sell. We're seeing a lot of those technologies today that are making that happen. But this temple, I don't believe, is going to survive the tribulation, because we read, and I've got a whole chapter on it, is the fact that Jesus, when he returns to set up his kingdom in Jerusalem, and he says time and time again, I will establish my throne in where? Jerusalem. That's where the seat of his authority is, that he's also going to build a temple. So his castle, or his executive chambers, whatever you call it, will also be a temple. Zechariah 6 says, he shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule on his throne. He shall be a priest on his throne. So Jesus is still intercessor, and the council of peace shall be between them both. So yes, this third temple that the world's waiting to be built, those at least of us who know prophecy, it's going to be a fallen apostate temple. It'll be destroyed, and Jesus Christ will rebuild his temple. And brother, we read that the dimensions of that temple in Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48 is 20 miles squared. It's going to be a massive building.
Wow. It's hard to even fathom that. Wow.
No. So, the size of a city.
Exactly. So before we take a very brief pause, you talk about four groups of people. Where did I see that?
The four different interpretations of prophecy?
No. Oh, here we go. I have so many questions here written down. All my notes are scribbled, so it's hard for me to read my own writing. You say the citizens of Christ's kingdom will consist of four groups of humans. What are these groups?
Okay. Well, we, in our glorified bodies, we've been raptured before the tribulation. We get to return and see Jesus by himself, by just speaking, melt the armies of the Antichrist before him. He's going to send Satan into a pit. The Antichrist and false prophet go straight to hell. And so we, in our glorified bodies, the church age saints, will be one group. Then he will resurrect the Old Testament saints and those who got saved but were martyred during the tribulation. So those are the other two groups, the Old Testament saints and the Tribulation Age saints. But those who survived the tribulation and have accepted Christ, they will go through what's called a sheep-goat judgment. The Lord will gather all those who've survived, and those survivors who've accepted Christ will go on into the kingdom in their earthly bodies. They will be the citizens of that kingdom. They will be the ones who will repopulate the planet. So those are the four groups you will find in the millennial kingdom.
Awesome. So friends, so much more to come. The book, again, The Coming Millennial Kingdom, What Life Will Be Like for Us When Jesus Reigns on Earth. It's just encouraging just to hear those words. We'll be right back on Worldview Matters.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily, world news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
Hey Hey friends, right now Freedom Project Academy is enrolling students for this fall with live anytime and homeschool courses for pre-kindergarten through the 12th grade. It is a Judeo-Christian online academy, and to celebrate 15 years of academic excellence, we're offering a 15% discount on all courses. So you can visit freedomforschool.com. That's freedom, F-O-R, school.com. Use the code David15 to save 15%. That's David15 and save 15% on all courses at Freedom Project Academy. Nathan Jones is our guest today. NathanEJones.com. Lamb and Lion Ministries is at ChristInProphecy.org. The book, The Coming Millennial Kingdom. Pre-order on Amazon and get it out there so more people can see it. So in one of the chapters, Nathan, you talk about how Satan will be bound during the millennium. And a lot of people have asked this next question. Why is he released? Why? To deceive people again after that.
Okay, so Jesus Christ sets up his kingdom. And so while we have flawed, failed human governments, you could read about it in Daniel 2, the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had of the statue that represented Gentile powers. It is destroyed by the stone not cut out by human hands. It fills the earth. That's a prophecy about this coming kingdom of Christ. When Jesus returns, he sends Satan into a deep pit. And I believe since the demons aren't mentioned or released, I believe they go straight to the lake of fire. So imagine living under a kingdom with a divine king, a perfect king, a purified administration, but the citizens are still in their earthly bodies. And so the Lord always allows humans to choose him or not. Matter of fact, God wants to populate the eternal state with people who actually want to be with him. So they will not be a bunch of robots. They will still choose the Lord or not. So here they have a perfect king, a purified administration. The world is in like a utopia. It's what mankind's dreamed. But inside the human heart, we'll see continually rebellion. And so the Lord does something very interesting. After 1,000 years of perfect peace, righteousness, and justice, no war, plenty of food, no homelessness, sickness is pretty much away, lifespans to be the hundreds of years, Satan is released. And I believe in many other theologians that Satan is released because he has always been a lightning rod. People can choose Christ and obey him, or people can choose to rebel against Christ and side with Satan. And that's what they do. And, you know, David, one of the greatest tragedies in the entire Bible is still future. And it's the fact that so many of those children born during that kingdom will side with Satan, and they will be deceived by Satan like Adam and Eve were, and they will follow him as Satan tries one last time to overthrow Jesus in the New Jerusalem, millennial Jerusalem, excuse me. But since there is no war in that time, the Lord just sends down fire, he incinerates the armies, and then that's the very end of the millennial kingdom. We move on to the great white throne judgment, and then into the eternal state. So it's really sad to read in the Bible that the greatest kingdom that still has yet to come ends by proving, and this is the point God's making, is that without a redeemer to save us from our sins and change that nature from being against God to being for God, rebellion will always be in the heart of man and death will always loom. And Jesus has to defeat death.
Yes, amen, brother. So what you just described, is that what you mean by when you write the wonders of divine justice?
Absolutely. Yes. Well, we have human justice, and we know what human justice is like here. We've actually transformed the word justice. It really is revenge, is what justice. When people yell justice. Yeah, it's not really. It's social justice, and it means bringing all the prejudices against a different group of people. Or, you know, even in our legal systems, you know, we can't get perfect justice. But Jesus Christ, the ultimate lawgiver. You know, David, one of the greatest things about the millennial kingdom is there'll be no legislative groups, no Congress whatsoever.
That's right.
Jesus Christ will be the only lawgiver, and he will give out the law from Jerusalem. And matter of fact, the Jewish people who are saved during the tribulation, they will go on into the millennial kingdom in their earthly bodies. And the Bible says that they will be a priestly people. Zechariah 8:23. In those days, 10 men from every language of the nation shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. So they will be intermediaries bringing the Gentiles up to see Jesus and see him face to face. So brother, the priests, elite people will be the Jewish people, but the administrators, that's you and me. if you're saved and know Jesus as your Savior, you will one day serve the Lord, because Christians have been promised that we will be the administrative body. Daniel 7:18 says, "The saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever."
That's a great promise. You talk about that in the book. You talk about what is promised the believer, the Christian, and then what is promised the Jewish people during the millennial kingdom. What else is promised to the Christian? And then maybe if you could tie in what is promised to the Jews.
Okay. Well, you know, we live in a time of great fear, but can you imagine living in a society that's defined by joy? Here's just one of the poetic verses, Jeremiah 31:13. "Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, and the young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning to joy, will comfort them and make them rejoice rather than sorrow." It's a time of great joy. It's also a time without any war. You're familiar with Isaiah 2:4. "They shall beat their plows, swords in the plowshares, and their spears in the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation." You know, David, one of my favorite scenes in the Lord of the Rings movie is when you see Frodo up in a tree and he's reading a book and all the cares of the world are gone. He doesn't know anything about the conflict outside the Shire. He's at perfect peace. He's not fearing anybody attacking him. He knows rest. And that's what the Lord promises with the millennial kingdom, a time of great joy, a time of great peace, a time where we don't fear for our lives or being mugged, or it's a time of, and even the animal kingdom, Isaiah 11 promises that the animal kingdom likewise will be at peace with itself and each other. We don't have to worry about animals hunting us down and killing us and vice versa. So it'll be a time of true peace. And that when you have true peace, you have true justice.
True peace and true justice. It is hard to imagine, because like you said, we put a lot of words in front of justice and it's not biblical. It's not true justice. So I think there's one thing. Is it wrong to take a little joy or satisfaction in the final judgment of God's enemies or of Satan? And can you explain how that works out in the end?
Certainly. Okay. Well, we talked about how one of the tragedies of the millennial kingdom is the fact that it doesn't work in the end. And it's not meant to work, because God is showing the world that as long as sin remains in humanity, there can never be perfect peace with God. All of human history is about God bringing us back to that Garden of Eden relationship, where Adam and Eve had perfect fellowship with the Lord. They walked and talked with him. There was no sin separating them. And the last 6,000 years have been about getting us back to that perfect relationship again. The millennial kingdom is, I like to think of, as the opening act to that eternal state, that eternal relationship. The greatest verse, one of the greatest verses in the Bible, is 1 Corinthians 15:24. It says, "Then comes the end." This is after the great white throne judgment. The Lord has resurrected all those in rebellion against him, and their names aren't found in the Lamb's Book of Life, so they're sent to the lake of fire. He then delivers, Jesus, the kingdom to the God the Father, and he puts an end to all rule and authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Yes. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will be also be subject to the Father, who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So that is God's ultimate victory, isn't just over the destroyed relationships that we have with God. He beat sin, he beat death, and he throws death and Hades into the lake of fire, and then we go on into the eternal state. But as I say in the book, the eternal state is a whole nother story for a whole nother time.
So we're running out of time quickly, Nathan. I'm going to jump right to the final chapter. So the final review, actually chapter 23, restating the problem, you say, tragically, human governments have consistently failed to live up to their God-given purpose in a variety of unfortunate ways. Most often, they fail to protect their citizens from all forms of lawlessness, natural disasters, hunger, disease, wars, and human suffering, and it goes on. So the question is, does the millennial kingdom truly answer the problem of evil as it pertains to failed human governments?
It doesn't. And so that was one of the big questions I asked in the beginning. It's an apologetic, a defense of the faith, the problem of evil, and particularly how it pertains to failed human government. People are losing their faith when their God-ordained government fails them. And unbelievers don't come to God because they've turned God a God out of government and government fails them, then they lose faith and end of everything. So it's a big problem when it comes to bringing people to know Jesus as their savior. So I began the book with exploring if the millennial kingdom, that first phase of the Davidic kingdom, answers the problem of evil as it relates to failed human government. As we said, it at the end, as long as the citizens still have sin in their hearts, it will continue to be a failure, no matter what utopian setting you have. So it's the eternal state where everybody's in their glorified bodies and the sin nature is no longer there. That's when the problem of evil is truly solved, when the Lord puts all his enemies under his feet, including death.
My goodness, brother, I'm thankful that you wrote on this topic. We need it today. There can be a very real spirit of heaviness on people because of the world and the evil and what's happening, wars, constant wars, the opposite of peace. But 300 pages, I didn't expect to be able to get to every chapter. But I do want to mention some of the troublemakers for the kingdom of God who also endorsed the book. And I'm thinking, man, we've had these people on the podcast, Jeff Kinley, Dr. Ron Rhodes, Jan Markell, Terry James, Todd Hampson, Mondo Gonzalez, J.B. Hickson, Lee Brainerd, just and others. So many wonderful men and women of God. So what a blessing, friends. The coming millennial kingdom. I am very encouraged by this, especially when you talked about chapter 14 and a time of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And isn't there another verse that says, in his presence is fullness of joy? So we can be looking forward to that. In about a minute or so, Nathan, any closing thoughts?
I 100% resonate with you. That's the purpose of the book for me, was to bring hope in these dark times. Mm. Everywhere we look, governments are failing. They can't get Ukraine and Russia to the seats to talk to each other. You know, the world's a mess in the Middle East. And you're like, do we have to continue under this type of suffering, under inept and corrupt governments forever? And the Bible tells us no. The kingdom of Christ is coming, that millennial kingdom, and then the eternal kingdom. We have a great future for us if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. You can only be a citizen of that kingdom if you are saved, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So I pray if those watching don't know Jesus as their Savior, do so today. Put your faith and trust in him.
Amen. Jesus is the solution. Thank you, brother. Friends, pre-order. It's going to be out in a few weeks. Pre-order on Amazon. Nathan Jones, we appreciate your ministry, your voice, and the new book. Thanks, brother, for your time today.
Oh, thank you, David. God bless you all.
Bless you too. Oh my goodness, what a privilege to talk about these things and these topics with great men and women of God. Keep the podcast rolling, friends. Share it on social media, and we always appreciate your prayers as well. God bless you, and as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter. We'll see you next time.